What's up, everyone? Josh White here. Just wrapped up an episode of the Hero Front podcast with my special guest, Staff Sergeant Zachary Miller, the creator of Air Force Wingman Outreach page on Facebook, a page that has helped thousands of people across the Air Force. We get to hear Zach's perspective. Why did he create the page? What was going through his head? And did he ever foresee the success that the page would bring? I had a great time getting to know Zach, the guy behind the page, the why, what drives him, what he's passionate about, and where he sees the page going in the future. Definitely check out this episode. I think you're going to love this kid as much as I did. Let's get after it. What's up, everyone? Josh White here. And I have such an awesome guest today. I have a special person, the creator of the Facebook page, Air Force Wingman Outreach. It's done a phenomenal job at helping so many people out there. And we have Zach Miller here, who founded the page. Zach, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And Zach, I want to kick this off with the Hero's Gauntlet. That's three questions that I just came up with 5 minutes ago. And we're just going to roll right into it. So, Zach, which X-Men character do you connect with the most?
I'd have to say the Professor guy.
Professor X.
I guess. Nice.
I like it. All right. You're doing great, man. Okay. Your favorite movie series?
I'm probably going to have to say... probably the Star Wars series.
Nice. Can't go wrong there. Except with the new ones. Anyways, can you guess what mine is?
Probably X-Men.
The Matrix.
Oh, really? I can see it.
Yep. I love Neo, and I'm excited about Matrix 4. All right. Last question. What is your proudest Air Force moment?
Actually, a couple months ago, I was nominated for an award. It was called the Niblet Award. Niblet Award. It was for an airman stationed at Davis Monthan that went above and beyond to help with their wingmen out and other airmen. Unfortunately, I didn't get it. But just the fact that I was considered and nominated and picked by my commander to represent the squadron, like, I did make it up to wing level, though. And it was it's an award given out by a organization that's actually off base. So I made it all the way up there with several other airmen from all the ranks. Unfortunately, I didn't get it, but just being nominated was like a huge win, proud moment for me.
That's amazing, man. What's the story behind your nomination?
The story behind my nomination was I'm always there for people. If somebody's having a problem, I try my best to help them solve it. And also, the creation of Air Force Wingman Outreach, man.
So just who you are as a person, they always see you helping out. They always see you there for others. You've kind of set that reputation.
I have, yes.
That's beautiful, man. And that's exactly why I asked you to be on this podcast, because I have loved getting to know you over the past. How long has it been since I've known you?
I'd say about a year, a little over maybe.
So yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure getting to know you and kind of hearing the behind the scenes stuff on the page. And it's been really cool. It was really cool, honestly, to see how much you and the other teammates care. Like, that was really cool for me to see, like, just how much y'all care and how much thought you put into things. I was like, I want to be a part of this team, like, straight up. I mean, you guys sold me on it. All right, Zach. So
Just so anyone listening, just to get to know your background, a little bit about your childhood, where you grew up, and then kind of going into your Air Force story. Can you run us through that?
So I was born in Pennsylvania. I grew up in a small farm town called Houtzdale. It's in about the center of the state. Graduated high school. I went to college for about 3 semesters and only got like 7 credits from that. Those 3 semesters. I was not good at school. And then I dropped out of college before they kicked me out. And I was working at a gas station. And I was like, this is not like I love this job, but I cannot make ends meet doing this. So I went and I talked to like all the recruiters, with the exception of the Air Force recruiter. And I was like, no, the military's not for me. Well, I went back to work the gas station for a couple more months, and I was like, I have to do something else. So I was gonna go back and talk to I think it was the Army recruiter again. But I happened to stumble, literally stumble into the Air Force recruiter's office. Long story short, I joined the Air Force, went through basic, went through tech school. My first duty assignment was Minot, North Dakota. I was there for 5.5 years. And before anybody criticizes it, I loved almost every minute of it. It's a great assignment. I personally say it's the hidden gem of the Air Force because it has such a negative reputation. And then after Minot, I went to Kadena for 3 years. Did not like it. Loved the island. Did not like the base. And then in 2017, I PCS'd here to Davis-Monthan in Tucson, and I've been here ever since. I have had 3 deployments. My first one was Balad, Iraq, right before it shut down. And then I went to Al Udeid, Qatar. And then I just got back in last January of January 2020 from Ali Asaleem, Kuwait.
Awesome, man. So, what about Minot did you like so much? I'm just curious.
So it's a small base, and everybody's kind of in that mindset that, oh, we're all stuck here, nobody really wants to be here. So everybody's there for you. Like, with my shop, for example, almost every single Friday night, we'd get off work, we'd go home, we'd get some dinner, shower, clean up, and then we would all meet up at like the NCO club, and we would just hang out, joke with each other, have some drinks, and then after that we'd get DDs and we'd go downtown and we'd just hang out downtown. We were very close-knit. And I'm not sure if it's like that for other career fields, but it seemed like an actual family. So like when I didn't get to go home on the holidays and stuff, I wasn't in a depressed mood because I was like, oh, I can always go over to so and so's, or I always had something to do. And the winters do suck. They very much do. But the summers, the 2 weeks that there are, it can get up to like 110, and in the summers the sun's out from like 3:30 or 4 in the morning until like 11:30 at night. I don't know, I just
Exactly what you're describing is basically Whiteman Air Force Base, too. I mean, you could say the same thing for both bases. And it's amazing when you take away, it's kind of like a remote overseas. That's how it feels.
Yep.
So it's kind of amazing, like when you take away all the distractions and you start looking at what's around you, and you start valuing people and friendships and relationships. And pretty soon, you know, the most friends I've ever had in my whole life, hands down, was at Whiteman. And I've been to really cool bases like here at Eglin, which is in Florida, and Luke Air Force Base, which is near Phoenix. Amazing locations, but it's such an amazing location that everyone at work is just complete strangers to each other.
Yep.
So, you know, each has their each pros and cons. I've seen both. I've experienced both. And as I get older, I definitely appreciate the tight community and the friendships. And I value that much, much more. You know, when you look back, like those times I was much happier in that type of environment. So hashtag why not, my not, is all I got to say about that.
Yep.
And you probably heard that 1,000 times. So I'm sorry. Reason, all right, man.
Freezing's the reason.
Yep. All right, Zach. So what we all want to hear, especially me, because I don't even know the story. I'm hearing this for the very first time, just like everybody else. Zach, I want to know, we all want to know how you created such an incredible page for people to be there for each other, to hear each other's stories, to make positive change in other people's lives, to bring everyone together. How did you come up with Air Force Wingman Outreach?
So I'll give a little bit of a backstory. When I pieced PCS to Kadena, I went through something and I was in a real dark spot, and I almost ended my life. Because I was only there a month. I really didn't know anybody, had nobody to turn to. So fast forward, in 2019, the Air Force had more suicides within the force than ever, I'm pretty sure. And I was thinking about it, thinking about ways, you know, leadership can combat this, or, you know, people can make a difference and things like that. And it got me down, because I knew how I felt. So I could only imagine how these people felt in that moment. I noticed that a lot of people were going to a specific Facebook page or two and just ranting and complaining, oh, leadership's not doing enough, you know, or they'd be like, this is what I have going on and I have nowhere to turn to and all this and that. So that got me thinking a little bit. And I was like, well, we need somewhere where we can go and vent or ask for advice, seek help, or reach out and be like, I need a wingman, without fear of repercussions. I wanted something that was, you know, blouse off, no rank, you know, just Zach to Josh instead of staff sergeant to master sergeant, you know, because I felt a lot of times people don't reach out because they don't want certain people, like certain ranks, to find out, because they're like, oh, well, I'm going to get in trouble, or they're going to take me to mental health and all this and that. So I created Air Force Wingman Outreach as a way to provide that to our wingmen, to our fellow airmen. I wanted somewhere where people would feel safe to go and reach out for help if they need it, or tell their stories and how they overcame it. And, you know, so that maybe somebody's going through the same thing and thinking about ending their life, but they read that story and they're like, well, this person's going through the exact same thing. They made it through. I can make it through, and give them that little glimmer of hope that, you know, it's not always as bad as you think it is. There are ways to make it through when you feel like there's no other way. I wanted people to be able to build that camaraderie, I guess, maybe not camaraderie, but like build that sense of, you know, I'm worth it. My life is worth living, and I can turn to this person and this person who I don't even know in real life, but I know they got my back, you know? So at the point that you made that page,
you said you went through something traumatic yourself. When you made the page, were you still in that headspace or had you already gotten through it?
When I made the page, I already got through that. So I made the page in 2019, August of 2019. And what I went through was back in 2014. So I made it through. I went and I talked to mental health. I got the help I needed, which I'm very thankful for. I was deployed when I created the page. I can't remember if I said that. So I guess you can kind of say I was still going through something, you know. But I was not in that super negative headspace, but I knew how I felt, so I could only imagine how the end of the year for 2019, the number ended up being 137 suicides in the Air Force. Don't quote me on that though. But I could only imagine how they felt in those last moments. And I wanted to make the difference, you know, give the people a place to go, you know, to reach out for help, you know.
It's kind of what, you know, you would have wanted at that point in your life, right? It's something that you knew in your mind, hey, if this existed, this would have helped me, right?
Yes.
And there's a little bit of healing too in creating something like that, right? Like on your own journey and what you're going through, like when you put love like that out in the world and you're trying to help others like that, did you feel like that internally helped you?
It definitely did. Just the fact that it was received so well and so many people wanted to be a part of it. It made me feel real good and just like it built me up and helped me to realize that, you know, even though, you know, I may struggle sometimes, I can get through it. And it helped me heal and it helped me realize, you know, even more that I am worth something. I'm not, you know, just moving through life. You know, I can make a difference.
Yeah, man, that's beautiful, man. I'm really thankful you made that page, and I know there's tons and hundreds of thousands of people possibly all thankful for it. So when you made the page, what was your goal with that page? Did you make it for your squadron, your wing, that whole Air Force? What did you envision at the start?
So at the start, I wanted something that was Air Force wide. But, you know, not knowing everybody in the Air Force, I just invited my friends that I knew were in the Air Force. And, you know, I was like, oh, you know, nobody's probably going to join this, you know? And then I slowly watched it. It was like 3 people, 8 people, 20 people. I think I got up to like 57 and it just stopped at 57 for a while. And I'm like, all right, you know, this isn't really going to go anywhere. I went to bed and I woke up the next day and it was like 700 and some people. I'm like, what? Like, and it's just been going ever since then.
So that's when you knew something magical was happening.
Yep. That's when I was like, all right, so maybe I'm not the only person that feels we need this avenue, this outlet, you know, without fear of repercussions, and all this and that. And there have been times where there were leadership commanders and stuff that got on the page and they're like, I want to know who this is, you know? And we're like, sorry, we don't do that. And they're like, you know, well, you're looking at this and that and this and that, and I'm just like, delete. I that's not the environment I was trying to foster. If somebody was going through something and they wanted to talk about it, vent about it, they should be able to talk about it and vent about it without a commander or, you know, a shirt being like, well, this isn't right, you know, and try to come down on that person.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the chaplains in a way where, you know, they have the capability of you telling them a lot of things that wouldn't get you reported, because it's an outlet. It's something that we all know we can trust and we can confide in those individuals. And kind of that same concept is kind of what you brought to the table, but just had a very wide audience. I remember the first time I heard about it, I was running the base honor guard, and someone who I highly respect, Chief Timmerman, she sent me an invite, and I was like, what is this? And, you know, I was on Facebook a lot then, because I just made an Honor Guard Facebook page. So I was trying to see what other pages exist. And so when she invited me, it really grabbed my attention, and I just started combing through it. And I was like, what is this? Like, how have I never heard of this? I think it's because it just caught fire so quickly that it looked like so many, you know, thousands of people are on this page. So you would assume it's been around a while, but the truth is it wasn't, you know, it was pretty new. I think I was on there like the end of the first month I was on that page.
Yeah, it blew up extremely fast, and it was a lot all at once, because I didn't expect it to be like massive, you know, and just like people were constantly like private messaging me, hey, can you post this? Hey, can you post this? And there for a while, you know, I was the only one doing it. And then I was like, oh man, I need to get some other people. And that's when I started, you know, I talked to the people I knew, and was like, hey, do you want to do this? And then like random people were just like, hey man, I want to be a moderator. I want to help you with this. And I'm just like, all right, awesome. You know, and I met some of the greatest friends I have, you know, through the page, you know.
The page has helped you.
It has. It very much has.
That's amazing, man. So I'm just curious, like, were people reaching out to you, like, in your own leadership at that point? Because this caught fire on, I mean, it's like 30,000 plus people deep. It caught the attention of the Air Force level. Did that affect your like normal day-to-day life at all? Were people around the base like talking like, oh, that the creator of that page is at our base? And like, how did that go down?
So it's actually pretty funny. So every morning we do safety briefings. And then on like Fridays, we have like a whole like shop safety briefing where we go over, you know, just all of management talks. Well, I was deployed, so I asked my superintendent. I was like, hey, you know, I started this page and it's blowing up, you know, do you mind if I talk on Friday real quick, you know? And he's like, yeah, sure. Well, Friday comes around, I get up in front of everybody and I'm just like shooting statistics, not really statistics, but like numbers. I'm like, at that point it was like there was 78 suicides so far or whatever. I'm just like, you know, 78. Can anybody tell me what that number is? You know? And like, I just went on, and that day our squadron chief was there. And afterwards she's like, this is awesome. I need to promote this and all this and that. And I'm like, all right. You know? And then I get in the work like 2 weeks later and they're like, Chief Cologne wants to see you. And I'm like, who? And they're like, Chief Cologne. And I'm like, you don't mean the command chief, right? And they're like, yeah, he wants to meet with you. And I'm like, oh man, you know? So like, I go up and I meet with him and he's like super pleased and like all happy to meet me and all this and that. And then there was an ACC, I can't remember what it was, an ACC like wing leadership briefing, virtual briefing, and they invited me, like they invited Ali Asalim leadership, you know, to be part of this. And then it was myself and actually another girl, Sergeant Riley, she security forces here at Davis Mont. And we were both over there, you know, doing all kinds of big stuff. But the two of us actually spoke to the wing leadership for ACC, like at every base, you know, about what we're doing and all this and that. And that caused a giant spike in, you know, membership. And General General Holmes is like super about it. The ACC commander, he was just like, this is great, you know, all this and that. And he's like, we need more airmen that take the initiative or something along those lines, which I thought was crazy. But there for a little while, yes, it was a little crazy.
So that just blew your mind, like what, how this unfolded. It had to, because I mean, this kind of overnight your life changed.
Yep. And then once I found out that Chief Wright followed the page, I was like,
that's a wrap. Mic drop.
Yep. Blown away. And you know, he would go in and just comment on people's stories and be like, you're so courageous for, you know, telling your story and things like that. I can't remember exactly what he would say, but you know, and people would ask him questions and he would respond, and you know, it was crazy awesome.
And he mentioned it at AFA, the conference on stage, and I was there in person. I was in the audience.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's like, there's, you know, social media pages like Air Force Wingman Outreach, you know, trying to make a difference. And he had a, you know, he gave it a shout out essentially. And I was in the audience like, yeah. And then on the chat on my phone, you guys were seeing like the live stream and you're like, oh, Chief Wright just gave us a shout out. And it was a really cool moment. It was really cool to be, you know, seeing him in person doing it. It was amazing. So let's talk about the page's impact though. How did that unfold with like actual impact to people's lives and how it actually affected people's lives?
So the page, you know, we're there to help our wingmen. And there have been multiple times people have reached out to us and said, you know, I'm just going to end it all, you know? And that's when like my admin moderator team, we like kick it into overdrive. Like we do everything we can to try to find out who this person is, where they're stationed. And if we can't get a hold of them, you know, via Facebook Messenger or something, we go the next step and we look up the number for the command post to the base that they're stationed at. And we've had to do that a couple times, which, you know, we don't like to do that because we fear that the person's gonna like just be like, I hate you guys, you know, I told you that in confidence or whatever. Even though we don't have any sort of confidentiality laws that protect us from not saying something. But for the people that we've actually contacted their command post, you know, they got the help and then a couple weeks later they reached back out to us and they're like, I'm so thankful you guys took that step because I wouldn't be here. I now realize my life is worth living, which is awesome to hear. We've also, you know, gotten people in contact with other people at their base if they're feeling, you know, that, you know, they're not worth it or they're in that dark headspace. We've gotten some people to actually reach out to mental health. You know, like we try to do the best approach that we feel is necessary for the people. If it's something like it, like you're reading down through either the anonymous post or the email, you know, it's like a, it seems like a suicide note. That's when we'll just be like, all right, got to find out who this is, where they're at, and contact their command post. But if it's just somebody, I'm in a dark space, I need help, I'm not sure where to turn to, you know, we'll get them set up, you know, here's the number to your local mental health, you know, here's the chaplain corps, here's some people you can talk to. These people are stationed at your base. They're more than willing to talk to you.
I remember that, man. You so other bases started making their own local chapters. I had the Whiteman one created, and you came up with an idea of having like contact numbers at each base so that anyone at that base could find any of these agencies that they're looking for. And I thought that was just a genius idea. That was really awesome. And what I also noticed about the page is like people would ask questions on there that they just did not feel comfortable asking anyone, you know, whether that be fear of being made fun of, you know, they feel silly because they don't know, or they don't want to discuss this particular problem with anyone. They could do it on this page anonymously. And then now you have the ear of, you know, a huge chunk of the Air Force, and you scroll through the comments and there's just so many good answers in the comments that can actually help that person. And it gets rid of that stigma that they might've been holding on to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's one thing that I wanted to do from the beginning. I wanted to foster, you know, that sense of, you know, you may think it's a silly question, but if you have that question, I can almost guarantee you somebody else has that question, you know, and by you asking it and getting the answers, you know, they may be like, oh, hey, I was wondering this too, and read down through. I can't tell you how many times I've been reading through things and I'm like, oh yeah, you know. I also want that, you know, that family feel, like, be respectful, you know, joke, you can joke around a little bit, but don't go too far. But if you're being disrespectful, then you're done. Like, we're not going to allow you to post on the page or even be part of the page, because we don't want that negativity coming into the page that's supposed to be positive and uplifting.
Yeah, for the most part, though, you know, from what I've seen, that's, you know, a very small majority that, you know, comes in with that negative attitude. For the most part, I mean, it's really beautiful, the things you see people talk about on there. It's really inspiring stuff. And I always love reading the feedback and the stories and the responses. And I learn a lot from it myself, because some of the stuff on there, I'm like, I don't even know where to begin with this. I can't help this person, you know, and I'm like, let me read the answer. I need to know now. All right, man. So we'll go to the future of Air Force Wingman Outreach. Where do you see the page going? Where do you hope it goes?
So I hope it continues to grow and it continues to impact airmen's lives. I hope that they feel that it's a safe place that they can go without any sort of, like I mentioned several times, repercussions. We actually have, in a small way, branched out into the other branches. I believe there is now a page for the Marines, a page for the Navy, and I'm not sure about the Army.
Pretty sure you're hitting other services now. That's crazy.
Yep. It hasn't taken off as well as AFWO has, but there's still, you know, there's members in there. We have a liaison that works with them, trying to help them get set up, you know, spread the word and things. So we're doing that, you know, that's hopefully going to be bigger in the future. We're also, you know, working towards, we're working towards actually getting that resource list. We discussed a couple times about having like one or two or three airmen from each base that has a list of the resources, the first sergeants, you know, and all that, that if we needed, we could reach out to them and be like, hey, I have this person, they need help. Can you contact their first sergeant or something to get them the help, you know? That way we kind of have a liaison with, like, with the base specific pages, we sort of have that liaison, but there are so many bases out there that we don't actually have pages for. And that's what we want to get the word out there more so that we can have better reach in helping people at these specific bases. So we have that. There was a couple other things we talked about.
You know, I feel like that the page led to you getting a certification of some sort to help people who were feeling suicidal. Can you speak on that?
Yes. Yeah, so I am a certified crisis counselor. I volunteer with the crisis text line. It's, you know, a text line that you just text hello to the number 741741. And it may take a minute or two, but you will be connected with a real life person just like me who can help you get through the crisis that you're currently going through. We help you, you know, come up with ways to keep your mind off of it, the situation that's going on, and just kind of help bring you down from being up here, you know, back down the here, you know. It's been very enjoyable for me to be able to help not just our, you know, our fellow wingmen, but other people, you know. And it's completely anonymous, you know. If you text that number and I, you know, I'm talking to you, I just get texter 019728, you know, just a whole bunch of numbers. And it's not until, you know, in the conversation, if I ask, you know, do you mind giving me a name to call you instead of texter, you know, you don't have to give a name. It's a completely confidential service. But it's, or you can just give an alias or a fake name, you know?
Yeah. I remember when you posted about that, you were really, really proud of that certification. And I'd never heard of that program. So I thought that was really, really cool of you to, you know, take that on. Were you able to connect with anyone and help them with your own experience?
My own experience, no, because when I'm in that, you know, the counselor mode, I try to steer clear of putting my experiences up front. This way I can actively listen or read what the person's saying so that I can figure out what would best help them. Are you still back there?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I just got low battery mode.
Oh, okay, it's all good.
Because the last thing I want to do is be like, oh, you know, this is what helped me. Try this, try that.
And so that's part of the training, I'm guessing, right? You have to go in with an open mind as someone who's in listening mode so that you're there for that person. They have your undivided attention because maybe they don't want to hear your story. So I'm guessing part of your training in all this is to be an active listener.
Yes. An active, empathetic listener. Actually hear what they're saying, what's paining them, because they may not know exactly what it is, but by listening and getting the clues and stuff, you can maybe piece it together for them, which helps them.
So were you able to, like, did it, when you were on call, for instance, and you had that text line, were you getting text messages? Were they coming through?
Yep. I would just sit here. I'd have like a water and some snacks and I'd just sit here, and then like it would pop up and I would just go right to it. I'd just start texting them back. And I've had a lot of conversations. Some didn't go so well. But we got them the help that they needed. And then there were others that, you know, it was, I didn't have to think like real hard on what to say or what to do. And, you know, I was just talking with them like a normal person, and that's all they really wanted was just somebody to be there to listen and to give them advice, not really advice, but help them figure out a way to move forward.
I love the concept of texting too. Just, you know, with today's world, you know, how people are brought up with all the technology, you know, to have that text line available is amazing. That is such a good idea. And, you know, someone like me who's been in 16 years, I didn't have Air Force Wingman Outreach or this text line or any of that. But looking back, you know, I had a really tough first enlistment. 100% I would have used those tools. So I'm so glad that they exist. And that's why I'm all in and on board with supporting them. So Zach, as we wrap it up here, I have one last question for you. You've been in a dark place. You got through it. If there's an airman out there struggling that kind of felt the same way that you did back then, what would you tell that airman?
I would tell them that they shouldn't give up. They're worth it. They can make it through. There are resources available, such as the Facebook page, the Chaplain Corps, mental health. There are people that want to listen if you reach out. And just don't give up, because tomorrow's worth fighting for.
That's beautiful, man. Zach, thank you so much for being. I love that the page is run by you. I just feel like you are just such an awesome person. You're just full of love and you just want to help everybody. I don't think there's any better person to run a page like this than you.
Well, it takes an army, so.
It does take an army. It does take an army, but at the soul of it is you. And we appreciate you. We love you. We thank you for everything that you've done for all of us. Thank you for doing this podcast, man. And to everyone out there, this was Zach Miller, and we're signing off.